acquire its full rights to the surfaces of the lands and then be managing it for its own rights. Now, this idea that there are very low rentals on the surfaces of the land is not the case. Actually, there's nothing being produced out of that lake now except some sodium chloride, some plain common rock salt in a couple of places. And that is not being produced on the bed of the lake. It's being taken off of the shore of the lake. So up to now, the lake hasn't produced a dollar of the minerals that we're talking about getting ultimately. We're expecting to get lithium and magnesium and other minerals out of there because in a pilot plant we find we can do it, and we're going to try on that. Now the state has a right of renegotiation, and it does renegotiate leases so that if any of those companies get into production and begin to produce, then there will be a renegotiation of the lease as they get into production and it becomes more valuable. The land itself is just plain mud flats. You couldn't rent it for a penny an acre unless the fellow had a right to pump some water out of the lake. These fellows are just seeing bugaboos under the bed. And I can't conceive of their doing it as they say. Now, we've had long talks with the justice heretofore, and my last word was that Weissel, the justice attorney who's on it, is perfectly satisfied with this bill. He said, that's all right. The only man that's turned the tail on us and gone the other way is Frank Barry. And he's undercut the secretary openly and contradicted him. As a matter of fact, I was astonished that Stu Udall even sat in there yesterday because he assured me in front of witnesses that he was for the bill.
What does he do? He can't get off. Both of them.
So this is just unbelievable to me. What? Mr. President, I can assure you there isn't one thing in there that can embarrass you or the federal government or ever will. Since I talked to you yesterday, I've talked to the chairman of both of the committees, and we've gone over it with a great degree of care, and they concur in my view. And it passed, as you know, unanimously. There was no opposition raised in either house of the Congress, which seems to me ought to weigh very heavily in your judgment when you look at the bill.
It does, Frank, but I've been there long enough to know it a good many times. Bills pass without the members really knowing what's in them. And if I had the assurances on the lease thing from the land board, and if I had assurances that the states would really buy the lands, it would make it a lot easier for me. But I just don't know how I can. And nobody can give that assurance because nobody can speak for the state that here is the offer of purchase at the fair market value at this stage of the game. So I'm afraid that if I go override everybody that the Congress and the Constitution has provided to advise me, and I ignore their advice, then I'm afraid it will reflect on the government and on the leader of that government.
Well, I know that nobody can sure what's going to happen in the future in a state which is a Republican form of government just as we have here, but you can have the governor's assurance, you can have mine, you can have the land board's assurance that they intend, and the state legislature just demonstrated a week ago that it intended to go through by passing its enabling part of the statute that the state was required to do. In other words, the state...
But that's not any agreement to purchase these lands.
No, the agreement that the state entered into was an agreement to manage the lands as a trustee during the period of time that the federal government had the claim of ownership on the bed of the lake and during the period of time that the compensation's being worked out. That's in the control of the Secretary of the Interior to fix what fair compensation is. You see, we worked so long on this bill, and we worked right hand in glove with justice people and with the budget, and wrote a bill out of the conference that followed almost exactly what they had recommended. In other words, practically all the Senate bill. What the House did was something quite different in this. And what we did it on is the basis of what those advisors told us they wanted in there.
Yeah, but Ted, they tell me that your bill, it passed the Senate, was all right, that it had the provision in there, the Secretary. But that he got it over in the House and they screwed it up now.
Well, they changed it to the trusteeship.
That's right.
The point.
That's right. That's the problem that we have here when they changed the Senate bill.
Well,
Scoop talked to us about it this morning. He agrees that that was where the problem was created. I think what we ought to do is veto it and let Aspinall go and have a hearing and come back and pass the thing. I think that would be the safest course for you and me and everybody else in the long run, where these good men have these doubts.
But, well, it won't be safe for me, Mr. President. You, of course, have to do what you feel you have to do, but it just cuts my throat from ear to ear. I don't know anything that could be more devastating to me than have you veto it now. And I talked to Wayne Aspinall this morning, and I'm very doubtful that he would even consider hearings on another bill.
Well, I don't want to be the only one that's interested in the public concern, and I know y'all are stronger than mine.
Well,
I don't want to put myself up, but you see my problem. I have
you might have to be like Mr. Lincoln when he polled his cabinet and said that there were six nay votes, and he voted aye, and the ayes had it. You may have to do that, and I recall one other time that you were willing to take my word on the Dixie Project when you had note there of some recommendation of a veto, and I told you straight out what the project did, and that it conformed with all of the standards that we set for all of the other projects, and you signed it. And I've never ceased to be grateful for that, because I thought that you looked right to the heart of the thing, and you didn't let these fellows that seemed to get wrapped up in wheels and wheels divert you from the main thrust of the legislation, what you're trying to do. What we're trying to do, Mr. President, is simply enable the people of the state of Utah, who are also citizens of the United States, to develop a resource that is there. If this is vetoed, the whole thing is thrown into limbo for again, I don't know how long. And I think it'll be tied up in litigation almost endlessly. And all that we've done so far falls down, and the people that get the blame for it are the you and the Democratic administration, and the Democrats from the state who've tried to do this. It all comes about in our administration. I just can't tell you how bleak the prospect is.
Let me read you what we have here to propose for me to sign. I'm returning here without my approval as 265 bill to authorize certain land in the state of Utah based upon fair market value. This bill authorized the immediate conveyance to Utah of 250,000 acres of federal land, which border the Great Salt Lake. It allows Utah up to 6 years to determine whether it even wishes to pay the fair market value of the land as determined by the Secretary. It provides for the reversion of land to the United States if Utah decides not to pay it. It authorizes Utah to make leases to private parties for use of the land on any terms or condition it chooses, which lease will be binding on the United States even if the land reverts. The bountiful mineral wealth of the American West has long been a mainstay of our nation's economy. From the days of the 49ers to the present time, this rich heritage has contributed mightily to our national strength and prosperity. Today, a major breakthrough in American technology and ingenuity promises the mineral wealth of Great Salt Lake and Utah, estimated to sum to an $80 to $100 billion. may soon be used for the benefit of all of our people. Many in the Congress and the executive agencies worked hard to devise means for promoting the rapid exploitation of these minerals. Our industry stands ready to employ its resources to this end, despite disputes over the ownership of land bordering the lake, land which will be needed to evaporate the brines and recover the mineral content have thus far inhibited these efforts. Senate 265 is one effort at resolving these disputes, but I find, unfortunately, that Section 6 is now seriously defective. It allows Utah to issue leases on at least 250,000 acres of land on terms and conditions of Utah's own choosing. These terms will be binding on the United States of America. If Utah decides not to pay the fair market value of the land, and it subsequently reverts to the United States under other provisions of the bill, these leasing provisions do not adequately protect the federal interest that I am constitutionally responsible for protecting. And if the leases were of a long duration, or if they were of a low rental, the values of the land reverting to the United States could be substantially less than before, and the United States then would receive no compensation for any loss of value which results from these low leases of low value or which unduly encumbers land. While this defect requires me to disapprove this measure, the vital goal of rapid exploitation of this wealth of minerals need not or should not be postponed. Accordingly, I am prepared to approve a bill similar to S-265, but amended to provide that leases executed by the state prior to payment of purchase price must be approved by the Secretary of the Interior. I am confident the members of Congress concerned will not object to this simple amendment, which was included in the Senate-passed bill, and which will assure protection of the federal as well as the state's interests.
Well, I find at least one error in there. The assertion is made that the leases can be made according to Utah's own choosing, which is not so. They have to be made in accordance with law, which is clearly set down and spelled out. So the state cannot do anything except in accordance with law. And
well, that's Utah law, though, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't that Utah law?
Sure, it's Utah's.
Well, that's what we say.
Well, you know,
we say this.
We say in on Utah's own choosing,
yeah.
Is the implication that the state can...
Well, I don't mean that implication. I mean with the terms laid down in Utah.
Utah law.
Not without our requirements.
Well, that's true, without the federal requirement there, because the state of Utah is a sovereign.
Well, we just say it allows Utah to issue leases on at least 200,000 acres of land on terms and conditions provided by Utah.
Provided by Utah law, that's right.
That's right.
In
all
accordance
right.
with Utah
all
law.
Right. That's all right.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
We
substitute that for the word choosing, say in accordance with Utah law.
Yeah. And as I tried to point out yesterday, the shoe is exactly on the other foot when Utah selects some of its school sections on which the federal government's made a lease for oil and gas. We have to take it exactly as, you know, in accordance with its terms that were made by the federal government on the oil and gas lease. And this is not uncommon at all when it passes from one sovereign to another.
Let me look it over now and see what we got. And I'll take this with me, and I sure want to help you, Ted, but I don't want to be derelict in my duty, and I know you don't want me to, and I think this statement, I think that the merit presented in this statement I've just read justifies the Congress taking another look at it. I don't think they ought to object to that. I don't see anything that'd keep them from it, and just because Aspinall wants to be arbitrary or somebody, I don't see any reason why that ought to make me do something I don't think I ought to do.
No, I don't either, and I just put it this to, because we were sitting in a conference yesterday, and we discussed it there, and I just talked to Aspinall again this morning on the thing. I don't
Let me study this thing, and I'll go over it again on my way flying home, and I've got a helicopter standing here waiting since 1 o'clock to take off. Got Henry Ford call me on the other line because he wanted to see me, and I just couldn't. I just had one meeting